This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. This is Nikash Wasega, and today we're joined with Elenise Obomsawin, a very amazing filmmaker, Aboriginal filmmaker. I'm sure our listeners will be very familiar with you, Elenise. Thank you for finding time. I know you have a couple of films in the Imaginative Festival, and that's how I'm having the opportunity of speaking with yourself. I know one of the films is actually about the Attawapiskat people, so I know our audience is going to want to hear definitely a lot more on that film. But first, to start, maybe if you could just give us a brief background of yourself and how you came into filmmaking, of course.
Well, it's quite a long time ago, because I now have been working in film for at least 43 years. And previously to that, I was mainly singing and talking about history in many, many schools in this country. So by the time I came into film, I felt I was doing the same thing but in a different form. It was really to educate and to try to force changes in the teachings in the classroom, especially about the history of this country.
Well, that's very great. I know you've actually produced and directed as well many films for the National Film Board of Canada, documentaries actually on First Nations culture and history. So it's great to hear that you find that educating people is a great way to get the culture out there. So maybe if you can touch upon the films now that you have at Imaginative. I know maybe if we hear more about the Attawapiskat one, please.
The title of the film is The People of the Kattawapiskat River, because Kattawapiskat is the real name of the community or of that river. Obviously, the name has been changed by people who were officials and did not understand the real name. And I was told by a member of the community that they will change it to the real word. And the first film is about 50 minutes long. As you see the film, you meet with the people who were going through a real crisis in terms of lodging. And many of the people were living in tents and sheds, and it was very cold. You know, the winter goes down to or up to 40 and 50 below zero. So it was a very difficult time for those who had to live that way. At the end of the film, there's again the same title, but it says 6 months later. I went back later on and saw the people who we had met before in the first film. Now they were living in a home, a trailer home, but brand new one, and at least it was much better than the situation they were in before. Although I don't believe that trailers are the answer for the north, because they're really not built for the weather, the harsh weather that the people have to live with. But it was a wonderful effort. When the ice road came, they were able to bring 22 trailers to accommodate the ones who were living in the most difficult places. So it's kind of nice, you meet them again, and the children in 6 months' time had grown so much. And they're just beautiful people and very dignified. And after 6 minutes, then there's another one that comes on, and it says the federal court hearing, which occur here in Toronto. And that one is 20 minutes long, so altogether is 78 minutes. And previously to that, the festival showed another film that I made in the late 60s and early 70s. It's called Christmas at Moose Factory. And it was wonderful because it's kind of a coincidence, because that was the first 16mm film I made. And I made it in James Bay at the residential school there in Moose Factory. So it was kind of wonderful to see all these films one after the other from the same area, with two different communities.
That's actually kind of nice to see that you have films from two different eras, essentially. But how important do you find a film like the one you mentioned about the Kattawapiskat people, and thank you for the correction of the name as well, How important is a film like that, where you actually are on the ground, on the grassroots level, instead of just maybe the glossed over media coverage, as I know where a majority of our listeners are used to? How important do you find it to actually get involved with the actual people, the actual community members?
I think it's very important. What you have to do is spend a lot of time with the people by knowing them, and they know you some, and you begin to trust the people that are trying to do something, and it makes a big difference because it's a place where you can hear them and see them, and it's their own voices, and especially when there had been so much bad publicity and bad judgment, a lot of the media, I felt that it was very important for the audience to meet the real people and hear them directly and realize how beautiful they are, really. And also the injustice that they have suffered. It's a chance for the audience to meet them differently, and that is very important.
It's true to actually, as you mentioned, to truly get involved and earn the trust, in my opinion, as I'm sure is probably a key aspect of it, of the community members before they truly open up, I'm sure. How do you feel this could be maybe, I guess, transposed, this approach as well, too, in a sense, for other communities that I know feel the struggle themselves for a lot of the same issues? I know it's actually, yeah, in my opinion, an astronomical number, that is the amount of communities that essentially could be in a state of emergency. So
definitely. I think when I was in Attawapiskat, I was working on the film mainly for the rights of children and the school that they're finally building now, which is great. And the fact that they've been going to school in mobile trailers was supposed to be temporary because they had to demolish the original school because the land was contaminated and people were getting sick and children were getting sick. And then they promised them a school several times, but it never came. And it's 13 years now. And the wonderful news is now that this year they have started building the new school. And when I was there last week, I wanted the community to see the film before I was going to show it to the public. I noticed and talked to several people who were there, like carpenters and people in that kind of, that does that kind of work. So they were trying to renovate a lot of the houses so that the ones that are in rundown trailers and overcrowded situation, a better place for the winter. So it's encouraging because there are a lot of things done to try to come up with some kind of answer. But it'll take time because as we are speaking now, there is a need of 300 new houses there. So you can imagine what it feels like for the people who have to live in a house sometimes with 20 people or 30 people. So it's really difficult. But I was very happy to see that there was something being done about it. I don't know how far they'll be able to go before the really cold days come.
And it's great to hear that the communities themselves are as well seeing the need, because it's an obvious need, I'm sure, whether it be housing, whether it be clean drinking water. We're often, unfortunately, too familiar now with the issues. I'm glad that, in my opinion, film really can be a powering tool, an empowering tool, actually, for communities to showcase the fact that maybe they're not getting the best resources that they're entitled to.
Yeah.
So, moving forward, do you have maybe any future plans? I know you're a very busy person, as I can only imagine. You're very wise teachings to see that you are trying to educate as many people as possible. So, where can our listeners maybe find a copy of, actually, the film?
Well, it's very easy.
River.
Yes, the film is going to come out any days now because we finished the mix and we had to get it ready for the festival here and for the community. So I would think another couple of weeks you'll be able to access the DVDs. And it's easy to find out. You just access the NFB website and you'll find out when you can purchase the film, and it should be very, very soon.
Wonderful. So there you have it, listeners. Make sure to get in touch with, or just make sure to check out the National Film Board website, because her new film will be coming out very soon, and it's an incredible film because it showcases on the ground the actual happenings within the community, how they dealt with it, in my opinion, was a tragedy. So thank you very much for finding time. Much appreciated, because I know you're very busy, of course. what we'll finish with, please, is some last words for the listeners.
Well, I just want to say that I've been going to this community for about a year and a half, and I was working on another film, and when this crisis occurred, when it happened, and I saw how offensive it was to the people and also to the teenagers, the young people, and I was very shocked at some of the media, the things that they said and accused them of. So this is why I switched film. I thought I have to do a document about what's going on now. And so now I'm going back to the first film I had begun to work there on, which has to do with children's rights, as a working title now.
Well, so that's great to hear that we're going to be able to see a lot more from you in the future. And, of course, thank you for your incredible work at the Imagination Film Festival, and thank you for taking the time. There you have it, listeners. Make sure to watch out for her upcoming film, and also make sure to watch out for the Cattle Fiscat film. You will be able to access it through the National Film Board website again. And Jimmy Gwech, listeners.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.